It's Monday, August 10th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I'm back from my trip to Idaho. I went there to help form a Normal chapter in Boise and also to visit my friends and family back in my home state. Sure was a lot of fun, but you know, I never travel with any contraband. I've got too much to risk by doing so. So it's been a few days since I've had the chance to enjoy 420. Feeling a little bit stressed out, I'll tell you that. I wanted to point out a post that has been added by Chris Goldstein, Stash founder and the executive director of Normal New Jersey. It's far too long to present on the podcast, but it's the story of John Ray Wilson, a multiple sclerosis patient in the state of New Jersey, who's facing 20 years in prison for trying to treat his disease with one of the most effective and safest therapeutically active known substances known to man, medical marijuana. It certainly highlights the need for that New Jersey medical marijuana bill to be passed as soon as possible. We also got reports from the Michigan Medical Marijuana Expo that took place this weekend. Got some video of that up on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. The local Fox affiliate sent a reporter out there to get the information, and it was nice to see the THCF banner in the background. They, of course, are the prime sponsor of this podcast, with medical marijuana clinics in Michigan and eight other medical marijuana states. It's time to look at the normal calendar of events, and if you're listening to this podcast, you will be able to listen to Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, who's going to be appearing as a guest on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. If you're not in the San Francisco area, you can listen to him on cityvisionsradio.com. This will be taking place from 7 p.m. through 8 p.m. Pacific time, right about the same time this podcast has gone online, so go ahead and pause the podcast and go over to cityvisionsradio.com and listen to Paul live while you can. Coming up tomorrow, the big premiere of Keith Straub featured on the VH1 Lords of the Revolution series. It also takes a look at Cheech and Chong and shows how they were instrumental in helping to mainstream marijuana for the American culture. It's on VH1 Tuesday, August 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Central Time. If you'd like to get your events up on the normal calendar of events and read on this podcast, send me an email at stash@normal.org. It's a normal shout-out. Our big normal shout-out for today goes to the state of Idaho. I met with four dedicated activists who want to get involved with educating and informing the residents of Treasure Valley, Idaho, the southwestern part of the state. And as I got back to my desk today, I had two more emails from people who saw the announcement but couldn't make the meeting. We only need five people to start a normal chapter, and that makes six people who've contacted me already. If you're in the southwestern Idaho area and you'd like your name added to the list, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'm also happy to announce that we've received the official paperwork of incorporation for the new Pittsburgh Normal in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Patrick K. Nightingale is out there forming that chapter, and if you'd like to get involved in the Pittsburgh area, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll send you on to Patrick. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines and another tragic story of a liver transplant patient who died after being kicked off the transplant list for the use of cannabis. In better news, a new bill going through the House of Representatives would reinstate federal financial aid to students caught for drug possession. Some new cannabis science shows that stress and diet may affect your ability to pass a cannabis drug test. And Grand Valley State University student Derek Kopp, who was shot by police for selling marijuana, was sentenced today. We'll have the details in the hemp headlines. Today we feature our This Month at Normal segment, and we're going to be visiting with the executive director, Alan St. Pierre, for a discussion over the recent controversy over Normal's use of a Barack Obama photo in our Yes We Cannabis conference poster. Alan also tells us what we can look forward to from Normal at the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we have the Killing Time Band for Message Monday and their song, Policeman, Always Take My Weed. And our good friend Casper Leach from the show Time for Hemp joins us at the end of the show to talk about his new live radio venture, Time for Hemp Radio. Seems like we're all going to live radio these days, doesn't it? All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Hawaii woman dies after being kicked off liver transplant list for marijuana use. From the Honolulu Advertiser. Big Island resident Kimberly Reyes, who was diagnosed with hepatitis in March 2008, had been told in July that she had less than 30 days to live. Her family claimed the Waimea resident had followed doctor's orders, but her insurance carrier, Hawaii Medical Service Association, denied her coverage for a liver transplant she needed to survive because 3 toxicology tests showed trace amounts of cannabis in her system. Kimberly Reyes died July 27th at Hilo Hospital, 16 months after being diagnosed. In the months after her diagnosis, she suffered cirrhosis of the liver, chronic hepatitis infection, end-stage kidney disease, and hepatorenal syndrome, which is caused by low blood flow to the kidneys due to liver deterioration. Kimberly Reyes was twice denied her application for transplant by the insurance company for technical reasons, such as missing required Alcoholics Anonymous meetings because she was too weak for doctor's appointments, claimed her mother. However, on July 17th, Reyes received the insurance company's approval for a liver transplant. That approval signaled the Reyes family and Hawaii Medical Service Association had apparently resolved compliance issues, Reyes attorney Ted Hertholdt said. 3 days later, the insurance company denied the transplant approval after it received toxicology tests that showed cannabis in her system, the lawyer said. He claimed her marijuana use was, quote, an indiscretion, end quote. She did not, according to her attorney and family, have a prescription for medical marijuana use. The family and attorney both claimed Kimberly Reyes had stopped smoking marijuana, quote, years ago, end quote, but took a few hits off of a marijuana cigarette that day to relieve feelings of nausea, disorientation, and pain. How many transplant-eligible patients must die for their marijuana use before this needless cruelty is stopped? The reason Kimberly Reyes needed to attend those Alcoholics Anonymous meetings is because alcohol is hepatotoxic, or liver-killing, and we don't want to give precious organ transplants to people who are just going to keep drinking and kill the new liver. But cannabis use has no impact on the survival rates for liver transplant because cannabis is not hepatotoxic. The drugs the hospital might have given Reyes for nausea, disorientation, and pain would have been far more dangerous to her liver than the joint she smoked. This is nothing more than a death sentence for sick and dying people on the basis of morality alone. Bill would restore financial aid for students convicted of marijuana possession only. Washington, D.C., McClatchy Newspapers. College students convicted of illegal drug possession could get federal financial aid for the first time in more than a decade under legislation aimed at overhauling the student loan system. The bill, which a House of Representatives committee approved recently and which the full House probably will consider after its August recess, says that those convicted of selling illegal drugs would still be barred from receiving financial aid. However, students convicted of possession would be able to get loans, grants, and work-study assistance. The new provision is part of the Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act, which passed the House Education and Labor Committee on July 21st. It would increase the maximum Pell Grant, the primary federal need-based scholarship, and end the private sector's role in student loans. Instead, the government would be the sole provider of student loans. As of 2006, nearly 200,000 students who'd been convicted of drug charges, about 1% of students across the country, had been denied student aid under the law. Under current law, students convicted of possessing illegal drugs are ineligible for federal aid for 1 year for first offenses, 2 years for second offenses, and forever for third offenses. Those convicted of selling are barred for 2 years for first offenses and forever for second offenses. In February 2006, Congress softened the law so that it would affect only those who were convicted of possessing or selling drugs while they were in college and receiving aid. Before, the law applied to prior convictions. Representative Mark Souter, Republican of Indiana, was the author of the 1998 bill that revoked student aid from those caught with cannabis or drugs. His reasoning was that if the government is going to pay for your college, the taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook for subsidizing a student's pot smoking or drug use. Because if you're really trying to ensure that a young person doesn't get deeply involved with drugs, the best way to do that is to make sure they can't get an education, can't get a good job, and are forced to deal marijuana or drugs to make ends meet. Oddly enough, Representative Souter doesn't seem concerned at all about alcohol binge drinking on campuses that actually kill students. He sponsored no legislation to make sure that students under age 21 lose their federal student aid if they are caught drinking, for instance. Somehow, the drug that leads to the most dropouts, date rapes, and death of any drug on campus was miraculously spared from his morality crusade, and the safest substance of the group, cannabis, was not. Stress and dieting may lead to positive marijuana test results. From ANI. A new study has revealed that stress and dieting can lead to a positive cannabis test long after the drug was last used. Lead researcher Jonathan Arnold from the University of Sydney in Australia says that the main psychoactive ingredient of cannabis, tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, is instantly absorbed by fat cells and over the next few days is slowly diffused back into the blood. During the study, Arnold and colleague Ian McGregor exposed THC-laden fat cells taken from rats to the stress hormone ACTH. The researchers found that the hormone increased the speed of release of THC from the cells. They later injected rats with 10 milligrams per kilogram of THC, equivalent to a person smoking between 5 and 10 cannabis cigarettes, depending on the strength, every day for 10 days. 2 days later, they injected a third of the rats with ACTH, deprived another third of food for 24 hours, and the rest were controls. They found that rats that were not given food had double the blood level of THC acid. The other group, exposed to ACTH, also showed a statistically significant increase in THC acid levels. Paul Armentano has been documenting the science of how long-term cannabis users can fail a cannabis screening for up to 100 days after ceasing cannabis use, and that people can pass many cannabis screens and then fail one. So many people who are on probation or parole have cannabis screening as part of their sentence, and so many go back to prison when the failed cannabis screen turns up. These people often insist they have stopped using cannabis, but prosecutors contend that the failed test, especially after passing a few tests, is evidence of the reinitiation of cannabis use. The science Armentano has documented shows this clearly is not the case, but until now there has been no understanding of why the levels of detectable THC and metabolites rise and fall so dramatically in the former user's blood and urine. This research begins to unravel that mystery and shows us that stress and diet may have much to do with it. The research has not yet been replicated in humans, but this gives scientists a clue to study further. My not-so-scientific analysis? If you're trying to pass a drug test, stop smoking pot for a few weeks, chill out, and eat a Twinkie. Student shot by police over minuscule amount of marijuana sentenced. From WOOD-TV, Grand Haven, Michigan. Grand Valley State University student Derek Kopp, shot and injured by a deputy in a marijuana raid, was sentenced Monday to probation, fines, and community service. Ottawa County Circuit Judge Edward Post handed down the sentence 5 months after the shooting that led to campus protests, 18 months probation, 40 hours of community service, and $300 in fines. He also gave Kopp permission to leave the state. Ottawa County Deputy Ryan Hyzenga was sentenced to 6 months probation, $400 in fines, and 80 hours of community service after pleading guilty to reckless discharge of a weapon, a misdemeanor. Hyzenga was returned to duty after a stint on paid administrative leave. Kopp, age 20, was shot in the chest and seriously injured March 11th when West Michigan enforcement team raided the off-campus apartment he shared with another student. Kopp sold an undercover officer 3.3 grams of marijuana, about an eighth of an ounce, for $60 shortly before drug officers raided his apartment. Hyzenga was entering the rear sliding glass door of Kopp's lower-level apartment when he fired the shot. Prosecutors say he mistakenly had his finger on the trigger instead of the trigger lock, which led to the shooting. Kopp was at the door, pulling open the curtain when the shot was fired. The lead in this story mentions that this was a, quote, pot bust gone awry, end quote. I disagree. When you are sending armed officers, guns drawn, to arrest people in their homes at night by approaching their back door, there's nothing awry about somebody getting shot. Why didn't the original undercover officer arrest Derek for the initial marijuana sale? Because the cops want to get the bigger bust. Going after that bust gets them bigger headlines, cash and property to seize for profit, and the adrenaline rush of taking down the bad guys. They've been trained to believe that behind every pot smoker's door lies a well-armed drug baron ready to go out in a hail of gunfire. So, a cop with an itchy trigger finger shoots an unarmed man in his home, and for his efforts he gets a paid vacation and a slap on the wrist. For surviving the gunshot, Derek gets to pay money for legal fees and gets the same slap on the wrist. That's drug war justice for ya.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, we cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th Annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for a debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis, with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level, with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009. Yes, we cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California. Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government, and from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal. Well, this week is the exciting week in marijuana law reform, with the granddaddy of them all, the biggest hemp fest in the world, Seattle Hemp Fest, taking place this weekend, the 15th and 16th, at Seattle's Myrtle Edwards Park. And here to talk about it and everything that's happening this month in Normal is the executive director, Alan St. Pierre. Welcome back, Alan.
Good day, Russ.
Well, before we get to the good news, let's tackle the bad news, and that has to do with the Washington Post article that came out last week, where photographer Lisa Jack is somewhat irritated at us for using her picture of Barack Obama in our Yes We Cannabis poster for the conference. Let's tell our listeners a little bit of background on what's going on with this poster.
Lots of legal papers. When I came in to the office after the Washington Post ran the piece on Wednesday, Thursday I found a private courier from Getty Images serving Normal papers. So, we are clearly making it known that we did not seek to rip off or somehow profit, as a nonprofit can, from this artwork. We think it is certainly fair use. We think that Sonia Sanchez's artwork that she created fits within that legal definition. We do not have any inclination at all to get into a major lawsuit with Getty Images, and for those who don't realize it, Getty Images is a wholly owned subsidiary of this little company known as Microsoft.
Well, speaking of Seattle.
So, we, as of Friday at 6:30 8:35 p.m. Eastern ceased any further commercial components as the copyright holders view them to be, meaning that posters are not going to be sold, no images on T-shirts. So for the hundreds and hundreds of people that purchased a poster, unfortunately, we cannot charge their credit card, and we cannot send them a poster. Mm. For the three or four people, and I do mean three or four people that literally got a poster, wow, do they have a collector's item. That's what I think. So we now find ourselves here today, Monday, sending back and forth letters to both the legal counsel that represents Getty Images and to the copyright holder herself, the woman who took the photographs, to find out, you know, just how amenable they are to negotiate before moving forward with full-blown litigation, hoping that litigation doesn't benefit anybody. So we found ourselves in an odd position of having to defend some artwork that we contracted for. We certainly think that it is a political parody, a satire within fair use. But we also really, honestly, respectful of copyright holder intellectual property rights. And if this copyright holder is as upset as she appears to be, well, we clearly want to meet her halfway as much as we can on this.
Mm. Yeah, and this fair use doctrine, this is kind of a confusing area of the law. You know, we see parodies and satires all the time. I pointed out a couple on the blog that I found from Mad Magazine, one of Barack Obama, another one that used Olympic images of Michael Phelps along with the High Times masthead. So Where does this stand? I mean, obviously we're not going to try to fight this too hard, but it does seem like a fair use issue to me.
Oh, it is. I think, in fact, had Normal's board of directors had what is known as trademark and copyright liability insurance, then I'm pretty sure we would go full bore at retaining those rights as fully as we can under the law, and to with a full throat defend Sonia Sanchez's right and Normal's right to employ this satire and parody, for which there are so many dozens and dozens of examples in American culture for such. So I personally feel strongly that we could win such a lawsuit if we decided that we wanted to empty Normal's coffers of hundreds of thousands of dollars to do so. But because we don't have that specific type of insurance, then the 17 board members, myself included, would be liable for potentially tens of millions of dollars in a lawsuit brought by Microsoft. So again, we want to continue to use the artwork. We'd like to actually do what we've done in the past, and that is, if you come to the Normal Conference, that this is the artwork that you'll be given free as a poster. This is the first and only time we've ever made Normal's conference poster art available prior to the conference.
Hmm. And obviously, you know, we don't want to spend the money that people are donating to try to end marijuana prohibition on something like this, especially against a company like Microsoft that probably makes our annual budget in a couple of hours or a day even. Yeah.
You know, it absolutely would be imprudent to do so, even though we have been contacted by a number of major law professors, First Amendment institutions, who immediately see this as something that must be upheld, must be challenged. However, it's not necessarily our fight, but if Ms. Sanchez wants to actually go all the way on this, she certainly can. But for Normal, you're right. We cannot in good faith spend members' donations on this sort of thing. This is not what Normal's about. We're about legalizing cannabis for responsible adult use.
Is there plans then in the future for the board to take out this trademark type of insurance?
Oh, you can just imagine the first phone calls that went out after the conference call today for bids to local insurance agents, because, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that nonprofit organizations and its board of directors can be saddled with terrific liabilities under Sarbanes-Oxley a few years ago passed by the Congress. So it's really important to have all your ducks lined up in these legal matters.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the good news, of course. That's the Seattle Hemp Fest coming up this weekend in Myrtle Edwards Park in Seattle, Washington. And Normal will be there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Normal will have a major presence there. I presume at least 5 to 6 Normal chapters, mainly from the Northwest area, will have booths and whatnot. there'll probably be at least 10 normal staffers and or board members speaking from any one of the main and side stages and speaking in the symposium. So, yes, Normal is very well represented always at HempFest.
Yeah, check out the Normal booth. You'll be able to find it. Do you know what the booth number is by any chance?
I don't. As you can imagine, we always try for 420, but we do get this great booth with High Times magazine that is right off the main stage area. And, yes, it's a very, very busy booth. We have all kinds of wild and neat apparel and doodads that we bring out that are only branded and available from Normal.
Yeah, except any conference posters.
Except for conference posters. Sadly, I can imagine how many people are going to want to get those this year, and we're going to have to give them the sad sack story.
Yeah. Well, Alan St. Pierre will be there, and Keith Strop will be there, hopefully, and I'll be there speaking on stages and actually playing music this year, opening up the main stage both Saturday and Sunday, so you get to see the musical side of Radical Russ. Looking forward now, just a little farther forward to the Normal National Conference. We spoke about that. Are there any new updates people need to know as far as guests that will be on panels or speakers or anything like that?
Well, we have confirmed Rick Steves, Norm Stamper, Mark Stepnosky. I'm really excited to see that the cannabis and athleticism panel seems to be coming together, which should be just a fascinating look at professional athletes and extreme athletes who use cannabis. I guess something that has just been brought to my attention this morning from the hotel, and it's a bittersweet thing. We have blown through our hotel room block by 175%, meaning that thankfully the hotel is still taking reservations, but they don't legally have to. They've gone well beyond the obligations of our contract. So for those who want to stay at the Host Hotel and get a great deal at a four-star hotel, a tower hotel right in San Francisco where the conference is being held, I dare say you need to get your reservations in immediately there. We can do the reservations with Normal later on in the month, but if you want to stay at the hotel, you need to get that in immediately because we have just blown that out.
Yeah, it's the Grand Hyatt Hotel in San Francisco, California, September 24th through the 26th, and you can get all the information you need at norml.org/conference. It'll all be there. You can register online, get all the information you need. And Alan St. Pierre is calling us from Washington, D.C., the executive director of Normal and the Normal Foundation. Before I let you go, anything to say to our cannabis audience out there?
Well, other than, when I first started at Normal in 1991, the summers were fairly sleepy, not a whole lot going on. Congress usually leaves for long periods of time. There was not a lot of marijuana activism going on, per se.
How the summers have changed.
How the summers have changed. This is the busiest period for marijuana law reform ever. Anybody who's just getting involved now, you're lucky. You don't realize what a great wave you're riding. For those who have been involved a long time, 10, 20, or 30 years, you have to recognize and be as excited as I am of how far this has moved.
Yes, it has. The tide is turning in our direction. Alan, thanks for joining us here on The Stash again.
My pleasure. Thanks, Russ.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins, no, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit norml.org today. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Message Monday, we're listening to The Killin' Time Band with their song, Policemen Always Come and Take My Weed. The Killin' Time Band from Canada blend pop, rock, blues, country, funk, and reggae to create a full roots rock experience. With over 600 shows under their belt in the last 3 years, the band are now working on a new EP, Killing Time Island, which features a number of dynamic Canadian artists. The Killin' Time Band's successful radio presence and sold-out shows prove the band are a strong voice in the Canadian music scene. To check out the band's music, go to myspace.com/killintimeband. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's the Killin' Time Band with Policemen Always Come and Take My Weed.
Hello. I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
We've been talking about our debut of Normal Show Live for a few weeks now, and it seems like everybody who wants to talk about the growing truth about cannabis is turning to the live internet airwaves to get the message out, because, as you know, the mainstream media is not too keen on telling the truth about our issue. Joining us here from the wonderful podcast Time for Hemp is Casper Leach with some great news about his show. Welcome back, Casper.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be part of this remarkable broadcast, and I want to say hello to all of my friends out there who are involved in Normal and let them know that there's a lot of people who are very grateful for all the hard work that they do. So many people in the front lines who just count on the work that the members of Normal do.
Yeah, we speak up for the people that can't speak up because of their jobs or their families or whatever it might be. And you've been doing this for a long time now with Time for Hemp. And I wanted to give you a chance to tell our listeners about your new live show that you're debuting tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, I'm really excited. It's with the AmericanFreedomRadio.com network, and it airs on AM FM stations around the United States. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, with the internet, it'll be airing live simultaneously as well. So if you're in Canada or Australia or England or America, makes no difference. You're able to pick up the telephone and call my guests should you have any questions that you want to pose to them.
That's excellent. So what time is the show and when will it be on?
Well, it airs every Tuesday and Thursday right now between 5 and 7 p.m. Central Time, and they anticipate moving me to a 5-day-a-week slot because of the enthusiasm that people have out there for hearing the truth. And I must say I have a stellar lineup of remarkable guests for my first 8 or 9 shows already waiting in the wings to educate the mind and entertain the brain.
All right. Well, where can people find out about this new live show?
Well, you can go to timeforhempradio.com, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. American Freedom Radio has built the timeforhempradio.com site to handle all the traffic and to make it easy for people who are interested in finding the show to do so. So I'm encouraging people to go to timeforhempradio.com, and there you can also find the schedule of upcoming shows, and we have a lot of great links, videos, and events posted. And this is going to be an ongoing site as well as the timeforhemp.com site. So I would encourage people to stop by and visit.
Yeah, it's an amazing time here where we're getting this message out like never before, thanks to the technology now is so affordable and so ubiquitous that anybody can get online and hear this stuff if they don't have a radio station near them. Casper, who do you have coming on your show here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm really excited to have Chris Conrad on. Chris was the very first guest of the Time for Hemp video series, television series, that began July 5th, 1991. And Chris was nice enough to come back to be part of the show, and I thought that was pretty important to me, because to me he is a good luck charm and a bright spot in the entire marijuana movement. And his wife, Mickey Norris, will be joining us. Together, they take care of the West Coast Leaf newspaper now. And then another one of our mutual friends that I know you hang out with occasionally, Alan St. Pierre, is joining us for our first show, and so is Ed Rosenthal and Mug Sticky. On our second show, we got Mark and Jody Emery. They're taking time out of their farewell tour on Thursday to be part of Time for Hemp. So is Keith Strop, founder of National Normal. I think you've heard of that gentleman before. And then Gatewood Galbraith is joining us for that particular show, and we're going to have music and entertainment from Jet Baker. And then on the 18th, Gatewood Galbraith is coming back as my joint host because we have a very special guest from California. His name is Jack Hare. He wrote The Emperor Wears No Clothes, as we all know is the Bible of the marijuana movement. And then we've got Carl Olson and Steve Hager coming on the 20th. Carl's been working very hard in Iowa on some legislation and on some court cases. And we all know Steve Hager's been very busy with High Times, and we'll be talking about his new book. Barry Cooper's coming on the 25th, and so is Token Tam from the Marijuana Music Awards. And we got Radical Russ joining us on the 27th to talk about his beautiful new show to help educate the minds with the daily audio stash going to Saturday night. And we're pretty excited about that. And we'll be joined by Paul Armentano and Neil Smith, who is a member of Indiana Normal. We got Kevin Gutzman, who is a author about the Constitution. He's been on the New York Times best-selling list 3 or 4 times. We got Dean Becker coming on the 3rd. And then on the 8th, we have the whole program set aside to pay tribute to the hardworking activists at the Boston Freedom Rally. So we really have a lot of great shows right out the gate.
Yeah, and again, timeforhempradio.com. That's the website address?
Yes, it is. And we encourage everybody to share that information with your friends and log on live. Call in, ask questions.
And it's the number 4 when you're doing that address. Time4hempradio.com. Do you have the call-in number secured yet? You know what the number will be?
I do. Let me go to it right now so I can get that information. And they made it a point not to use an 800 number because when people call from outside the United States, I guess when using an 800 number, it makes it kind of encumbersome to do so. So if they just have a standard area code, all they need is the country code. And the telephone number is 521-879-3805. And anytime you hear any one of our guests on the show, whether it be Keith Stroff, Mark Emery, or Willie Nelson, or whoever we happen to get back onto the show, and you think that you have something that you want to ask them, pick up the phone and call. We're very interested in what everybody has to say.
Now, you mentioned earlier that this radio network that you're allied with will have the show rebroadcast on some AM, FM stations. Do you know what cities and what stations yet?
Actually, it's not rebroadcast. It's broadcast simultaneously live. And I know that they've got affiliates in Denver, and they've got them in San Francisco. They've got them in Austin and Texas. But they're also, you know those little mom-and-pop radio stations that get about 30 or 40-mile radius?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those radio stations across the United States are also airing the material that comes from AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So, yes, we are airing simultaneously live AM and FM across the United States and around the world on Internet radio.
So it's kind of a syndication sort of deal, and if people wanted to hear your show on their local station, could they get a hold of you to get it distributed there?
Oh, they certainly can. We encourage them to go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com or TimeForHempRadio.com, and they can subscribe to the audio feed, and it's a standard setup for any other radio station. It's just great and easy to access. So, yeah, if there's people out there listening who would like to have this show broadcast in their cities, they just need to get a hold of a radio station that has the kahunas to tell the truth, and they can have it happen at their wish.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled by all of this explosion of internet and radio media regarding the growing truth about cannabis. You know, there's the kids out there at Marijuana Radio who are doing their work, and Time for Hemp, and we're going to have the Normal Show Live coming on. Just everywhere you look, we're all talking about marijuana, and like I've always said, if we're talking about it, we're winning. As long as the truth's getting out there, we win. Before I let you go, Casper, anything else you'd like to tell our audience?
Yeah, honestly, I almost said no to doing this because it was going to be an awful lot of work.
Yeah.
You know how hard you and I work on getting these shows out.
Oh, yeah.
But the people at American Freedom Radio have gone out of the way to make it easy to not only put the show together, but easy to access the show. And they should know that the gentleman who's in charge of the network has a personal stake in this fight on the war on drugs. His sister-in-law is a medical marijuana user in California. She carries a medical marijuana card. And it agitates him that when his sister-in-law visits his wife and him in his state, that when she leaves California, she leaves a place where she is safe to take her medication and goes into a state where she ends up being a criminal. And he's very anxious to end this war on drugs and to raise the voice. So I would encourage everybody out there listening to get behind the Daily Audio Stash, Marijuana radio, Time for Hemp, and any other broadcast that is trying to speak the truth, because it's the only way we're going to get loud and proud.
That's right. The more voices, the better. I think there's enough room for everybody, and I'm really glad to hear you out there, Casper. You've been doing such great work for so long. I've learned so much from listening to your shows, and really appreciate you coming back here on The Stash to share more information with us.
And it has been an honor to be part of your broadcast and to allow me to have an opportunity to speak to your audience. And I certainly look forward to having you as a guest back on my show.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks then.
All right, my friend, keep strong. And remember, the next time you hear me, you'll know that it's time for him.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that this weekend is Seattle Hemp Fest, and I'll be recording all sorts of audio for next week's podcast live from Seattle. I'm also performing at the Seattle Hemp Fest. I'll be opening up Saturday and Sunday with Tim Pate at the main stage, and closing Saturday night at the Hemposium stage, so if you're there, check us out. I'm also looking for volunteers to help me out with passing out flyers and other helpful stuff while we're at the Hemp Fest, because I will be very, very busy. We'll also be helping out at the Normal High Times booth. And for anybody else that wants some information on Seattle Hemp Fest, check out hempfest.org. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We're still getting ready for Normal Show Live in 3 weeks. And the El Jefe Hot Wings Eating Contest. More details coming up on future stashes. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.